In humble adoration, I kneel before the throne. In brokenness, I seek your face alone. Above you, there's no other that's able to restore my soul. Come and make me Savior, I come to thee.
I will say of the Lord, yeah, yeah, he is my strong tower, my rock and my fortress.
Jesus, Jesus,
in my strength, in times of the storm,
in times of the storm,
and in tribulation, he is my help,
my strength,
and my salvation.
Over and
right by you there and go before God with it. God, we need you. It's bigger than just an individual need. God, we need you as your people. We need you. Every household, every family, every marriage. God, we need you. We don't have any strength, neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God breathed on Adam. He became a living soul. The day of Pentecost was the breath of God, the pneuma of God, coming down in the upper room. This morning, we had God breathe into the life people in this altar. He'd love nothing better than to do that in your life tonight. Praise God. We're so thrilled to have Brother Cornwell in the house with us tonight. What a wonderful friend in the kingdom. What an awesome mentor and bishop. And we've brought him out before the revival conference. And we've poured water on his hands and we've asked him to be our bishop for that conference. We believe that that conference has the power to shape and to change the destiny of the work of God in Alabama. And I tell you, we couldn't have a greater, a more effective role model and mentor associated with that conference. I don't know if there's anybody in North America that has taught more home Bible studies. I don't know. He'll tell you no. But I appreciate him for his evangelism. I appreciate him for the great work that he's built in Wichita. And I appreciate him because of his burden. I appreciate him for wisdom's sake. If you're hungry for more of the Word of God, call the First Pentecostal Church in Wichita tomorrow and just order his old First Line Leadership Series and just feast on that for a year. You can wear them out and never eat all the meat off the bone. Praise God. Praise God. Extend your hand toward him. Pray for him, Sister Cornwell, and the children, the church, as he comes tonight. Brother, take your liberty.
Said, God uses donkeys. Amen. I love Alabama. Sometimes Alabama gets a bad rap. But if the truth is known, Alabama has made more progress in the last 30 years than any other state in America. Amen. Alabama used to be known for football. Now you've got some educated people here. Amen. Be seated, please. I want y'all to try to wear out these chairs someday. I appreciate the service last night. Anybody enjoy the service last night? Amen. Anybody got a good taste in your mouth tonight? Amen. Matthew chapter 16 and beginning at verse number 13. You can stand. Hallelujah. There are some people I always want to buy their used car. Because when you buy their used car, you know it's not even broke in yet. I want to buy y'all's used chairs. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all can smile. It ain't gonna hurt you to smile. Praise God. I'm reminded of a story of this elderly gentleman. His wife passed away, and he was rather lonesome, so he decided to move into a retirement community. And he moved into a retirement community, and he met a lady in the retirement community. And they ate together and fellowshiped together. And he decided, you know, I'm not getting any younger. If I'm going to marry her, I better ask her. And so one night at dinner, he asked her. He said, you know, we're both getting up in age, and we ain't got a whole lot of time left. He said, would you marry me? And she was so thrilled. She said, yes, I will. And he went home that night. The next morning, he woke up. And he couldn't for the life of him remember what she said. And it just plagued him all day. He knew he asked her to marry him, but he couldn't remember whether she said yes or no. And so at lunch the next day, he said, look, he said, I'm awfully embarrassed. He said, I've got to ask you a question. He said, last night I asked you to marry me, and I can't remember whether you said yes or no. Oh, she said, praise the Lord. She said, I knew somebody asked me to marry him, and I said yes, but I couldn't for the life of me remember who asked me. So as Brother Sutton and I age, just remember. Oh, praise God. Anybody got the Holy Ghost tonight? Anybody enjoy living for God? Is anybody here because you have to be here, or do you want to be here? Amen. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in the world that I love more than Brother and Sister Sutton. They have an excellent, excellent, excellent spirit. Praise God. And I know you. I'm here this weekend, and y'all had somebody last weekend, and you got somebody coming. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all don't need another preacher. I mean, y'all got the best preacher in Pentecost as it is. I'm telling you. Amen. I think he just brings us in to give us some practice, to help us. Amen. I enjoy the Alabama Revival Conference. I've been to the Alabama Revival Conference a great number of years in a row, and I think I maybe have missed one or two. I had appendicitis one time and had to miss, and thought I wasn't going to get invited back after that. They found out somebody else could preach. I'm on the steering committee to Impact, which follows the Alabama Revival Conference, and I come here every year. And the Alabama Revival Conference ruins Impact for me, because I get impacted at Alabama and get direction, and I go to Impact, and I enjoy Impact, but it does not have the impact because I've already been impacted before I get there. And so I'm trying to talk our steering committee into having our conference before I come to Alabama. Amen. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, the disciples said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, and I believe he answered for all of the disciples, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I will build my church. I will build my church. Amen. It is the will of God for New Life United Pentecostal Church to be the fastest growing church in Birmingham. Now, I tried to preach a little bit evangelistic last night, and I tried to reach sinners this morning, but I have to be honest. This is why the Lord allowed me to come here tonight to begin with. Praise God. I appreciate the fact that they asked me to be the bishop over the Alabama Revival Conference, and even Brother Lewis told the people in Mississippi that I was the bishop over Alabama. And I think he got that mistaken, but he's calling me the bishop over Alabama now. But I believe that I do have a purpose in being here tonight. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "I want him to preach to me. I want to be impacted by the Spirit tonight." Can I have an amen? You can be seated. Praise God. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Are you glad that you know who Jesus is? He is not the second person of the Trinity. He is the first and he is the last. You cannot even begin to imagine how glad and how grateful and how thankful I am that he has revealed himself to me personally. Praise God. I have probably shouted as much as anybody in the country over just the fact that I was a little kid raised at Frogmore, Louisiana, in the middle of a cotton patch, and why God chose to reveal himself to me is a mystery that I may never understand in this life. But I'm going to tell you, I am grateful. I am not going to take for granted that just because I'm a Pentecostal, I'm going to heaven. I am so grateful that I understand and I know who he is. Amen. He's the mighty God in Christ. Praise God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Can I have a witness, somebody? Praise God. Amen. If you're going to shout about anything in the house of God, don't shout because the sermon's good. Shout because God is good. Oh, praise God. If there's a kid in this pulpit preaching his first sermon, if he says anything about the mighty God in Christ, you ought to be on your feet. You're not praising God because of who is saying it. You're praying God because of who they're saying it about. Praise God. Amen. The last sweeping, great, autonomous, sovereign move of the Holy Ghost is going to come to the church that can identify who he is. Praise God. My God is not going to honor someone that worships him as the second person of a triune God. But he's going to come to people that know that he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can I have an amen? People that cannot separate the name from the blood. Praise God. When you call his name, you are invoking his blood upon yourself. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Be seated. I'm going to try to get the other 30% standing here in a minute. Praise God. Amen. I thank God for healing. I thank God he's healed my body many times. Can I have a witness, somebody? Amen. I can stand here and tell you of countless miracles that God has done just in the last few weeks, praise God. Not counting the miracles he done last year or the last decade, but what God is doing right now. And I rejoice in all of those miracles, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. If he never heals me or if he never heals you, I still know who he is. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't know the last time you heard a sermon on the oneness of God, but it is the greatest sermon that's ever been preached on who Jesus Christ is. Praise God. When you rejoice over his name because you know what his name is and you know what his name means, that's when you'll be healed, and that's when the blessings of God will flow in your life. Praise God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not the rock Peter, but the rock of revelation. Can I have an amen? If you understand who Jesus is, you did not learn that from book knowledge. You did not learn that by putting 2 + 2 together. Praise God. It came to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay, I'm not satisfied with that kind of response. Praise God. You didn't learn who Jesus is. He revealed himself to you. If you understand why you're baptized in Jesus' name, he revealed that to you. Well, praise God. You are the people of a revelation, praise God. You are people with a purpose because you have the revelation of the mighty God. Hallelujah. God does not take someone. This morning at church, you can be seated. This morning at our church, we had 16 people receive the Holy Ghost this morning in Wichita. That makes well over 100 people that have received the Holy Ghost this year in 2006 already. Out of that number that had received the Holy Ghost, this has happened. Every week, But someone was driving by. There was a family driving by our church this morning. And the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, turn in there and go to church right there. And they had never been to our church. They had never darkened our doors. And they found themselves pulling in our parking lot, finding a parking spot, looking at themselves and said, what are we doing? And he said, something is just compelling us to stop here. And they came into the house of God, and the worship fell like it did here this morning and tonight, praise God. And they found themselves standing up and coming to the front and not knowing anybody or anything that was going on. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus. I submit to you that God does not do that for everybody. He does that for people who have the revelation of who He is and the revelation of His saving blood. Praise God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. I am so grateful. My Lord, I am so grateful. I cannot keep my hands out of the air. When somebody calls the name of Jesus and they preach about the name of Jesus, I cannot sit in my pew, praise God. I've got to stand up in honor to the revelation, hallelujah. The more you honor the revelation of Jesus Christ, the more God is going to bless you, praise God. Amen. Only the sinner cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. But when the Holy Spirit comes in a congregation, when God moves in a church, God always comes in the form of judgment. And when the judgment of God comes into the house of God and He touches the blood, His own blood that's in your life, that judgment turns to mercy. And that mercy turns into revelation. And that's why you find yourself standing and not even understanding why you're standing. Praise God. That's why sinners sit down in the move of God, because God is judging them and God is drawing them and God is moving them, and they understand that they're sinners. That's why they come to the altar and that's why they get saved. You can be seated. Praise God. However, amen, we stop reading here, amen. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the revelation. I'm just doing a little Bible study here, okay? Praise God. Amen. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the anointed Christ. That verse is a mystery to me, that he did not want them to share their revelation with anybody else. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Because there's another part of the revelation that they have not yet received. Praise God. I thank God for churches that understand who Jesus is. I thank God for every church across America that's been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. There's a lot of churches that have baptized you in Jesus' name, but they won't baptize you for the remission of your sins. Praise God. All across America, I rejoice, and around this world, I rejoice in people that baptize in Jesus' name and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. However, we have too many churches that are still too small. Boy, that's a revelation. Y'all be seated. Y'all can be seated. Amen. I am not down on small churches. I understand that God loves small beginnings. Praise God. I thank God for home missionaries. Praise God. I thank God that we got this good brother Roberts that is starting a home missions church. I thank God for brother Freeman that he's starting a home missions church somewhere. Praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, you're a home missions church, but that doesn't mean you have to stay small. We baptized four this morning in Jesus' name. It would suit me fine if you baptized four people every day this year in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here now. Praise God. I tell you to be seated, but you're not going to be seated anyway. Praise God. I have been coming to Alabama year after year after year. I go to the Kentucky Art Conference every year. Praise God. I travel 30 times a year across America at camp meetings and growth conferences and Bible study seminars and revival conferences. Praise God. And there's one thing that has gotten a hold to me. Praise God. It's not the will of God for this church to be the same size this year as it was last year. Praise God. I want you to shout about knowing who Jesus is. But there is a higher calling, and that is to understand what his purpose is. Hallelujah. Now, verse 21. If y'all are putting this on the screen, yes. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show or to reveal unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem. The same revelation that it took to understand who he is going to take the same revelation to understand his purpose. Amen. Across the country, we refer to Brother Sutton's church in Birmingham, or they refer to Brother Cornwell's church at Wichita, or Brother Mangan's church at Alexandria, or Brother Lewis's church at Mobile, and so on and so forth. It's not our church. Amen. Praise God. Brother Sutton is not going to receive any greater reward whether he pastors 10 people or 10,000 people. Praise God. Can I have a witness? I am not great because I pastor a church with more in numbers than you have. Or you're not a greater church because you pastor or in a church of a greater number than somebody else. We cannot compare ourselves one among the other. Praise God. Because the purpose is too high for that. Can I have an amen? We need to rejoice every time a church gets the revelation of winning souls for Jesus Christ. This morning, when the Holy Ghost was moving so powerfully in this place this morning, I stood right there and I prayed for every pastor in the state of Kansas. I want my brother to grow, praise God. I am heartbroken because they're the same size as they was 10 years ago. And it disturbs me because they get the revelation of his name, but they stop there. And when we need the revelation of the purpose of God. From that time forth began Jesus to reveal unto his disciples. Number one, he must go unto Jerusalem. He must suffer many things. He must be killed. And he must rise again. That was God's purpose for coming. It was preordained and pre-written.
that he was going to die in Jerusalem, Israel. Praise God. The Jews did not kill Jesus, and the Romans did not kill Jesus. You could take a 10-penny nail and drive it in his heart, and you could not have killed him. How can you kill somebody that can raise himself from the dead? How can you kill somebody that can raise Lazarus from the tomb? How can you kill somebody that can raise up a little girl? How can you kill somebody? No man taketh my life. I lay it down. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. Why? To fulfill the scripture. I must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Why would he have to suffer? What was his purpose in suffering? Because by his stripes we are healed. We rejoice in him rising again the third day. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to rejoice before he rises again. I thank God for every stripe that was put on his back. I thank God for every bruise that was placed on his body. He was bruised for my iniquity, and by his stripe, I am healed. Amen. He tried to show them his purpose. And they could not see the revelation of his purpose. It's not enough to know who he is without knowing what he wants. You can be seated. You're not going to be seated, but you can be seated. Amen. I don't mind you standing, but I just want to give you permission to sit if you want to. Amen. I preached at the Oklahoma Ministers Retreat Friday morning. They asked me to come and teach on Evangelism 101, or Beginning Evangelism. There was about 200 preachers at the retreat. And I try so hard to not come on with an arrogant attitude. I don't like to hang around people that think I'm arrogant, because I just want to be me. We ate a steak together this morning, brother. Amen. Amen. This good brother tasted that steak. Praise this morning. God. Hallelujah. I like to be able to tell you what God is doing through me, hoping that you'll rejoice about him instead of about me. Y'all understand that? You ask me how I'm doing? I'm doing fine. You're never going to hear me talk negative. I may have a broken leg and a hip out of joint and may have a fever of 107 degrees, but you ask me how I'm doing fine. I ain't got nothing to complain about. Because I'm not going to put the spirit of discouragement on you. I'm going to tell you, you're doing all right. God's going to bless you. Praise God. And God's going to bless you financially. And God's just going to be with you, praise God. He's going to bless your health. Hallelujah. And you might even win the lottery. But don't play the lottery, honey. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that if you can't pay your bills, I'm not going to condemn you for not paying your bills. I'm going to pray that God give you a better job. And your employer, you mess with me, I'll pray a raise on you.
I have to stand in my pulpit, and many times I have to say, folks, I am so sorry today that I feel so good. Because people are jealous because I feel so good. And I have to apologize so they'll feel better. Praise God. I'm so sorry I'm doing good. I'm trying to do bad, folks. I'm sorry God's blessing me. And to make them poor jealous, people feel all right. Praise God. And I got people getting mad at me because I pray against the high prices of gasoline. Had a brother come to me the other day. We got to cursing the high gas prices. I pray against mine enemy. Bring upon them confusion of faces, even as under this hour. Praise God. I curse the oil tycoons and the Arab sheiks. Hallelujah. And gas prices dropped in Wichita to $1.79 a gallon. And it came out in the national news that Wichita had the lowest gas prices in the nation. And people saw that on my website, and they started praying against high gas prices, and their gas prices started going down. I'm sorry God hears my prayer. I got guts to pray against the oil tycoons. I got guts to pray against the Arab oil sheiks. Amen. I just believe that God can bring the prices down where us poor folks can drive a while. And I said, just in case God doesn't answer this prayer, I got a second prayer I'm going to pray. I pray every man and every family in this church receive a substantial raise on your job. And if you're having to buy tennis shoes at Walmart for $19, I pray that God would bless you with a raise so you can buy Nike Air Jordans. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And I don't mean to come on arrogant. But the only language the enemy understands is the language of authority. If you think you can weep yourselves into getting the enemy to let go of you, you're wrong. Sooner or later, you got to stand up with authority and say, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. There's somebody here that doesn't make enough money to pay all your bills. Don't get mad at me because I'm about to bless you. I'm telling you, I want God to give you a raise on your job. I'm going to give you permission to sit down again. You don't have to, but I'm giving you permission to. I'm getting a bit sidetracked, but it's Sunday night, and I'm going to have a good time, okay? I've come a long way to preach to you, and I'm just going to lay it on you. Praise God. I had a little daughter-in-law that was not raised in church, and her family was not raised in church, and her family might have given $10 over the course of their lifetime to the house of God. And they probably accidentally gave $10. They meant to give one, and they reached their billfold and got a 10, and they were too embarrassed to get it back, so so we had a missionary come by, and the Lord spoke to me, said, I want you to give $500. I want you to give everything in your checkbook to the missionary. And this was on Wednesday night. And we still had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to go before I got paid again. Don't tell me you don't understand that. Man, I thought I was preaching to the wrong congregation. And so I looked at my checkbook, and I had $503.79. I keep my checkbook balance. And I said, okay, Lord. So I wrote a check for $500 and had $3.79 left in my checkbook. And I put it in the offering plate. And I forgot that on Wednesday night, I take all my kids and my son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren to Taco Bell. The reason I take them to Taco Bell, you can feed them pretty cheap. I don't believe a pastor can do without Taco Bell. And so my little granddaughter said, Papa, where are we going to eat at? And I said, honey, we're not going to eat anywhere tonight. I don't have any money. She said, well, write a check. My daughter-in-law said, Pop, where are we going to eat at? I said, well, I put all of my money in the offering plate tonight. And I said, I don't have any money. So we're just going to go home and drink water and eat the bread of affliction. She said, well, how much did you give? And normally I wouldn't have told her, but the Holy Ghost struck me and said, tell her what you gave. I said, I gave $500. She said, you gave $500 in the offering tonight? I said, yeah. She said, I've never heard of anybody giving money like that. And it dawned on me that she hadn't, because her mom and dad never went to church and didn't like preachers and thought the preacher made too much money and he drove too nice a car and too fancy a suits and wore them real nice neckties that cost $9. Amen. And then bratty kids in my church, they grab a hold of me and they pulled all the linings out of my... I've had my linings replaced several times. But when I walk down the aisle, kids are grabbing me and pulling on my coat and pull the linings out. And I pull their teeth and wipe their nose and shine their shoes and tie their shoe. I love our kids. But I realized that she wasn't used to it. So I said, I gave $500. She said, well, my mom and dad never would have given anything like that. And I wanted to smart off to her, but the Holy Ghost just checked me. And so a few days later, I received a phone call and asked if I would preach a funeral of this young lady who was killed in an automobile accident. And I told him that I would, and I went and preached this funeral for this young lady. They were not members of the church, but I was about the only preacher they knew, and I went and preached the funeral. And the mother said, would you come by the house tomorrow? And I said, sure, I will. And I went by the house, and my son went with me. And we went to the house, and we talked, and I prayed with them, and the family was there, and I tried to comfort them. And she said, I have something I want to give you. And she handed me an envelope, and I discerned that there was some money in the envelope. I said, hold it, hold it. I said, I can't take pay for preaching a funeral of somebody that I love. I said, I don't want the money. Oh, she said, please take this money. She said, in this envelope, there's some money to pay the singers and play the organ player, and it'll just pay for their gas and just divide it among them. And she said, and I want you to take this envelope. I said, look, I didn't preach this funeral for your money. She said, and the whole family got on, please take this money. I said, all right, you know, you twisted my arm. And so I put the envelopes on the seat, and my son has an evangelist spirit. Opened one of the envelope, and it was $500 bills. For the singers and the organ player, it was five of them, and the sound man. And I was going to give each one of them $100 from that envelope. She said, divide it, what I was going to do. And then there was one that had my name on it. And Scott opened that envelope, and there was five more $100 bills. I will never forget that night. I said, God, I pray that you'd bless this missions offering, and somebody's going to give to this missionary that can't afford it. Give it back to them tenfold. Would you do it, Lord? I didn't think anything else about it. And Scott said, Dad, you ought to look at this. Five $100 bills. He handed them to me. And that was that $500 I gave that missionary. He said, Dad, you better look at this. And there was a check in the envelope made out to Morrell Cornwell for $5,000.
I've been going around to funeral homes to find out if I could preach more funerals. I like that. I had a heart attack. I couldn't breathe. And so when I got home, I laid out the five $100 bills on the buffet, and I laid that $5,000 check right beside it, and because all the kids were coming over to our house to eat supper that night. And so my daughter-in-law came in the house, and she walked by the buffet, and she looked, and there were five $100 bills, and there was that check there. And I heard her scream, "My God! Woo!" She said, "Pop, where'd all this money come from?" I said, "If you'd have listened, you'd have known where it come from." I said, "I asked God to give it back tenfold." And I said, "There's that $500 I gave to the missionary. And he gave it back tenfold, because if I can multiply right, 10 times 500 is 5,000. I said, "If you'd have gave some more than that $1 you gave the missionary, you might get blessed." And ever since then, she's paid her tithe and given offering unto God. I believe in blessing people. Can I have an amen? Amen. I want you to be blessed. Can I have an amen? But more than I want you to be blessed, God needs to reveal to you that He wants you to be blessed of God. Amen. Now, I understand you have this dent repair business. Yes, sir. And you got to have a lot of cars to have a lot of dents. Sure do. Somebody say, "I dare you."
I dare you.
All right, you're on. Praise God. I had a Chevrolet dealer in my church, and he was sales was bad and having a hard time making ends meet. And he called me and said, "I'm in trouble. I'm about to go bankrupt." I said, "Well, what would it take to pull you out?" He said, "If I had a little hailstorm and all my cars got damaged, I could collect enough insurance to pull me through." We was in a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant. I said, "Give me a hand. Let's pray. Lord, this man, he was a tithe payer, and he was a giver. He bought us our first five buses." Hang on. I'm going to talk about bus ministry in just a minute. I got to tell the story. Praise God. And I said, "Lord, this man is a giver. And, you know, he's faithful. And God, he helped me build this church. And he started our bus ministry. And he pays all for the repairs. And God, I don't need him to go bankrupt. I need you to bless him, God. Send a hailstorm in the name of Jesus." That night, about 2 o'clock, we had our first hailstorm come through. But it was just pea-sized hail. And I heard that hail hit my window, and I jumped up and said, "My God, he's answered my prayer. Oh, my Lord, he's answered my prayer." I walked outside. It was just pea size. I said, "Lord, we got to have bigger hail than that." So that morning at 6 o'clock, right at daylight, we had another hailstorm, and it was about marble-sized hail. But it wouldn't dent a car. And at 10 o'clock that morning, I looked to the northwest, and the clouds had turned emerald green. It was moving from northwest to southeast. And there was a tornado moving from southeast going northwest, which is unusual in Wichita. And I watched that green emerald cloud suck that tornado cloud in like it was nothing. I thought, "Uh-oh." And the sirens went off, and the storm, and everybody was diving for cover, and our church is a civil defense building, and buses were pulling under our canopy and unloading kids, and they were all going in the storm shelter. And when that storm hit, 80-mile-an-hour winds, and we had baseball-sized hail, that, son, will dent a car. And before the hailstones quit falling, the Chevrolet dealer called me and said, "Oh," he said, "Brother Cornwell," he said, "God answered our prayer. Every car on my parking lot has been damaged." Hallelujah. I challenge you to pray big prayers. I challenge you to believe that God will fill this building up this year. It's not the will of God. For there to be chairs that nobody's standing by. I prayed for that man to be blessed, not knowing that we had a leaky roof that we couldn't get fixed. And the hailstone went through our roof and collapsed our auditorium and done $400,000 worth of damage to our building, that the insurance paid everything. I got a brand new roof that doesn't leak. Hallelujah. The next morning, I started getting calls from car dealers all over Wichita. The Chevrolet dealership was the only dealership hit by the hailstorm. The Pontiac dealer called me. He said, "What's going on?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You pray for the Chevrolet dealer to get a hailstorm and it doesn't even touch us." He said, "That's not right and that's not fair. Where is our hailstorm?" The Buick dealer called me. The Mercedes-Benz dealer called me. The Honda dealer called me. I said, "Well, what do y'all want?" He said, "We could at least have a little tornado and had some damage." I said, "Okay, let's pray. Lord, they need a tornado." You think I'm joking. I'm dead serious. I said, "Lord, we need a tornado in Wichita to hit all these dealerships." Tornadoes come out of the southwest and travel northeast. And all of a sudden, a week later, the sirens went off. We was going up the turnpike just before you get to all these dealerships, and I slammed on the brake and looked, and a tornado had dropped down and was going from southwest to northeast. It got to Kellogg, our US 54, stopped right over Kellogg, done a right turn, and followed Kellogg until it got to the first dealership. The tornado dropped down to the ground, done $25 million worth of damage to all those dealerships, got past the last dealership, picked up, made a left turn, and went on its way. They asked me to come speak at the Wichita Automobile Dealers Association, and they introduced me as the man with power. They hugged me. You can't imagine. You don't want to know how much they gave me for a 15-minute speech. Hallelujah. I've been wearing nicer clothes since that speech, friend. God wants you to understand He will hear your prayer. He wants the blessings of God on your church. Can I have an amen? How do I get the blessings on my life, on my family, on my finance, on my health? How do I get the blessings? Here's how you got to do it. It's not enough to know who He is. You got to let God reveal His purpose to you.
Hallelujah. You need a hailstorm.
I do.
How big a hail you need?
Golf ball.
But if you get a golf ball size, they'll total the car out, and you won't get to fix it. Why don't we pray for the right size hail,
right,
so they won't total the car out, but it'll dent it enough so you'll have plenty of work.
That's all right.
Now, they're not too happy about this prayer. Amen. Be seated for just about 3 more minutes. What is God's purpose? He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer. He had to die. And He had to rise again. Now, I hope this doesn't get on the internet. I hope I'm preaching to you. But I want you to notice something when somebody rebuked Him for His purpose. Amen. 16 and verse 22. Then Peter took him, the man with the keys, the man with the first revelation, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. And Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. I quieten the crowd. There are too many of us that are so proud we know his revelation, but we spurn his purpose. When I found out, when I came in and I found out that this church had bought a bus, the Spirit of the Lord came on me, because it's going to be through the bus ministry that God is going to send you over the top. When I got through teaching Friday morning at the minister's retreat, it got quiet. The spirit of weeping hit that place. It was probably the greatest single sermon I have ever done on soul winning. I had a preacher walk up to me after it was over, and he said, I learned something this morning. Hang on, I'm getting back to bus ministry. God's going to give us a revelation before I get through tonight. He said, I learned something. He said, I always start my Bible study with Acts 2:38. I said, how many people have you won to God? Well, he said, I haven't won anybody. I said, you know why you're not winning anybody? Because you're like half of Pentecost. You are so stinking selfish. Pretty blunt, isn't it? I couldn't call him Satan, so I'd done the next best thing. I said, you teach Bible studies for your own selfish motive. You don't want to take time to love nobody. You don't want to take time to minister to somebody. You don't think God will minister to somebody that's not a member of your church. He said, well, what are you saying? I said, why don't you start where God starts? Where did he start? In the book of Genesis. He hid Acts 2:38 in the middle of the Bible so you could not accidentally find it. Because he intended for somebody to build a relationship with you. Brother Collins, you are so much, sir, in the will of God when you take that Bible study to that home and you sit down and you learn to love everybody you teach and you get a burden for them and you minister to them before they get saved. I have been condemned because our church runs from 13 to 15 buses every Sunday. And it cost us a fortune to run 15 buses every Sunday morning and on Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. Why don't you stop that foolishness? It costs too much money. You could put that money someplace else, and you could probably get a bigger salary if you wouldn't put so much money in the bus ministry. But you got to understand the purpose of bus ministry. I said you got to understand the purpose of bus ministry. You got to minister to somebody that cannot possibly pay you back. Bus ministry is a free gift to your community. Can I have an amen, somebody? And that's why God is going to make sure that every seat is filled at New Life Tabernacle, because you are now in the will of God.
When gasoline went to $3.35 a gallon, they said, I guess you'll stop bus ministry now. I said, no. If it goes to $4 a gallon, then our people are going to get enough raises on their job to keep buying gasoline. The Holy Ghost is calling others in this room to get involved in the bus ministry. I couldn't help myself. I introduced myself to these young Hispanic boys and girls sitting on his front. And I'm telling you, it's some of the best looking kids I've ever seen in my life. When I looked at that name, Lopez and Gonzalez and Batista, oh, praise God, my heart done a double back flip, praise God. You are now involved in something that's going to take your church not running 300, but it's going to go over the 1,000 mark. Did you hear what I'm telling you? You've got to understand the purpose. God is revealing the purpose. Oh, Pastor, if we buy another bus, we got to have a bus driver. We got to pray a mechanic through, and we got to have more bus drivers with CDL license, and we got to have more bus captains. Let me tell you something, there's enough bus captains in this place to make this church go out the top. But are you willing to just shout about his name? Are you willing to get involved with his purpose? Where's Brother Collins at again? Amen. Because you're involved in the bus ministry, you're going to have a breakthrough in an enormous way in Bible studies. Am I making any kind of sense? It's not enough to just shout about knowing who he is and then spurning his purpose. Because when you spurn his purpose for your life, you better be careful lest he turn to you and say, get behind me, Satan. Birmingham, please believe me when I tell you, I love you. I'm going to tell you, I love this church. I love this pastor. My God, I love his family. Amen. I prayed for his daughter this morning that she might have a baby, and son-in-law went and hid someplace. Praise God. But I want God to bless them with grandkids, and that's how much I love them. Praise God. I'm just picking. I'm just trying to lighten the atmosphere here a little bit. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I dare you again.
Dare you.
All right. I'm going to take it. Bus ministry is costly. And bus ministry will never pay for itself if you look at it from that direction. But when God gives you the revelation of ministering to people that cannot possibly pay you back, then God will start paying you. Let's all stand together. Amen. It is the will of God, this church, in one day, on one Saturday, could knock 40,000 doors. This church
for a little bit over $30,000, could mail a brochure to every door and make every postman an evangelist. Where you cannot get in the door, that postman can. You say, we don't have $30,000. I know that and you know that. But God doesn't know that, because he can supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. It is his purpose that this church do everything in your power to reach everybody that can possibly be reached in the city of Birmingham. I'm not going to do it, but there's somebody here that could buy another bus. But there's somebody here that God's calling to drive that bus. There's somebody here that God wants you to dedicate to being a captain on that bus. There's somebody here that God has called you to be a Bible study teacher. But you're satisfied with just having the revelation of his name without having to share that name with anybody. Our heads are bowed. Now, Holy Spirit, you told me if I'd preach this tonight that you would deal with men's hearts. If you know who Jesus is, would you lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. If you can see his purpose, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, I believe I'm beginning to feel the purpose of the Lord. It's not the will of God that just you get saved. Somewhere, there's somebody very precious that only you can, reach. Only you can reach them. God wants to baptize you with a sweet spirit. In the name of Jesus, there's somebody that only you, through the purpose of God, can reach. Folks, let me minister to you for a few minutes. In the name of Jesus. Pastor, if we start running buses, we're going to have more Sunday school teachers. And that means I won't get to be in the auditorium and dance and shout with everybody. That's okay. Just be willing to do his purpose. Because they're going to have more Sunday school teachers. You're going to have more Sunday school space. Somebody, God's got to raise up to be a bus mechanic. Because buses do break down. Are we willing to say, Lord, reveal your purpose through me? Lord, give me that burden to reach somebody. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Lord, baptize me with the spirit of love. Lord, baptize me with that sweet spirit. Birmingham, I do love you. I promise I love you. God knows I love this church. I'm not trying to condemn you. I just want God to reveal his purpose. Hallelujah. 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 Here I am, Lord. Here I am. your spirit move through me. Here I am.
If you're willing to be used for his purpose and you'll make yourself available to the Holy Spirit, come and join me at the front. Folks, God's got to deal with us. He's got to deal with us. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship with me, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where God's going to call you, but I want him to reveal his purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lay your hand on somebody, take somebody's hand while you sing it.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am.
Let your spirit move through
me. Let your spirit move through me.
Here I am. Whatever you want, whatever you say, I'm saying yes. Whatever you need. If you need somebody to go, I'll go. If you need somebody to be, I'll be.